And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about we are down south of Birmingham. We're up north of Huntsville. We're from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Moving to number two on the Triple Dipper. And by the way, before I forget, don't keep in mind, 4 p.m., about top of the hour here, Grand Council with myself and Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. That's always a good time. All right, so I've got this next section I'm calling Make This Make Sense. I began to, you know, resource the show out and get things together this morning early, and I kept seeing stories where it's like, okay, that happened, and that was like government doing something. That was like a government official or a policy or sometimes just a person, and you're like, they're just intent upon being stupid. I mean, at this point, what? Make this make sense, please. Could somebody look at them and go, that's not okay, and stop that? I mean, sometimes you would love to believe that common sense would come into play. Like here's the first story. The Federalist, dated yesterday. Michigan parents sue the school board for allowing pornographic books in school. Why is this hard? It's not hard. Dearborn parents are suing a Michigan school district for admitting pornographic books into schools. Dearborn public school parents served the school board with an intent to sue on Monday night at the Board of Education meeting after a tumultuous meeting in October when hundreds of Muslim and Christian Dearborn parents called for the removal of multiple sexually explicit books, parents saying they had no other choice but to obtain to retain legal expertise. The lawsuit says, as you're well aware, these parents have expressed to you great concerns regarding books depicting and describing pornography, pedophilia, and other sexually explicit content in your schools. They're also concerned over your sex ed policies, enhanced by your own denial of their right to opt out of the district's sex ed programs. The parents are saying, would you stop? Would you just teach our kids reading, writing, and arithmetic? Why do we have, and by the way, these are not like, you know, prudish parents who just don't understand that sometimes life is PG. I mean, first of all, I sound like I'm mocking. I'm not. I'm not trying to. What I'm saying is, no, these were X-rated books. I mean, we're talking about stuff that, like, for instance, here's one. The school district, it did do an internal book review. It did decide that it would approve the book Lovely Bones and another one called Flamer. It did restrict a couple of the others, like Red, White, and Royal Blue and another one called Push. One of the parents says, we know our rights as parents. We know that now our rights are being infringed upon. And then she turned to begin reading excerpts from the book Flamer, which includes graphic references to male body parts and sexual encounters. That was the one they had just approved to keep after the parents had complained. One of the parents, named Ann Clark, says, you can't get any more explicit than seeing pictures of naked women with everything that entails. Said, what's it going to take? What is your definition of explicit? She asked the board. I'm willing to be on a committee to help you. We'll have other parents because it should be a parent-driven committee, not staff. And we pay you, and you're not listening to us. So in accordance with any corporation, we should be allowed to fire your blank. Another, I think it's the same parent. Actually, yeah, same parent. Ms. Clark said, I'm a Christian. These are Muslims. I don't care what religion we all are. We're all here together. We're one community. This is about our children, she said. This has to do with children, all children. I don't care if they're black or blue or polka dot or whatever. You're failing miserably at protecting our children, and we have to fix this. We as a community are going to do something about it because we do have the power of the people. Good on you, Mom. But I look at that and I'm thinking, why is that even a story? Why? Somebody please make this make sense. Well, the real answer is you can't. You can't make it make sense. It only makes sense if you change the entire paradigm of how you think. It only makes sense if you sit back and go, we no longer care about cultural mores, traditions, or the essence of what is right and wrong, and we don't believe parents have a say. If you have that viewpoint, then the books make sense. Ugh. Here's one. I tell you what, let me move down my stack. This one just, ugh. Boomer shaking. What you doing, bud?
Oh, I'm just shaking my head. This is exactly what you said. Can't make sense of this because it's just idiotic.
Well, did you see the one about Decatur when you helped me get these together? When I found the story about
Yes, I did.
All right, this one's right here at home, y'all. So this may be the story, Boomer, that actually triggered this entire thing. When I found out the mayor of Decatur is actually violating the laws of the city of Decatur.
Wow.
Anyway, okay. All right, right here in the listening area, Decatur, Alabama. You ready? Headline on AL.com. Decatur mayor operates an Airbnb even though they are prohibited by city ordinance. What? So I looked at that and I thought, no. Really? A Decatur ordinance prohibits Airbnbs and other short-term rentals in the city, but since at least August, those wanting to stay for a short stay in Decatur's historic district could rent a small house for as little as $70 a night from Mayor Tab Bowling. The Airbnb lists the guest house behind the behind Bowling's residence, bought in February, and calls it an adorable guest house in historic old Decatur. The entire guest house, hosted by Russell. Russell is Bowling's middle name. Interesting. When contacted Tuesday by AL.com, here's the response of the mayor. He says, obviously, this will wind up being embarrassing. It's not something I look forward to dealing with in the media. I'm not looking forward to that, but I'm looking forward to the ordinance being changed so we can do this. So I'm knowingly breaking the law as the mayor, and it's embarrassing. So, yeah, we're going to change this ordinance so I can be in line with the law.
But I'm going to go on and do it right now.
Yeah. What the heck?
What the heck?
It got a little worse. Bowling said on Tuesday he may discontinue renting out the house. May. Ah, I just got caught. It's obvious that I'm violating the law. I'm the mayor, and I'm trying to get it changed so that I won't be in violation anymore. In the meantime, I don't know.
Maybe
I'll stop breaking the law.
Or I'm just saying maybe so you think I'm going to.
Somebody make this make sense.
What? Again, doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. let's jump across state borders. Up on there in New York, but it's kind of a story that kind of goes all up. Townhall.com. I am sick to death of seeing criminals being set free with just no bail. I mean, come on. A New York City man caught with tens of thousands of rainbow fentanyl pills was reportedly released from custody without bail. Manuel Pagan. There's a name for you. Manuel Pagan, 49, was arrested last week in Manhattan's Chelsea neighborhood in possession of approximately 20,000 multicolored M30 fentanyl pills. He was charged with criminal possession of a controlled substance in the first degree and freed without bail. New York City's Office of Special Narcotics Prosecutor told the Post it had requested he be held on $100,000 cash bail or $250,000 bond, but the Manhattan judge, James Klein, ordered supervised release. And then he goes on to talk about how deadly fentanyl is. And then it points out that this is epidemic, it's everywhere. It says police officers in Oregon recently seized 18 pounds of fentanyl. You know how much that is? You can kill 4 million people with that. It was in one car. 18 pounds in one car. You can kill 4 million people with that much. Federal agents and New York City police officers arrested a New Jersey woman recently with 15,000 multicolored pills that had a street value of $300,000. A middle school student in California. Middle school student in California was arrested after bringing fentanyl pills to school, which also caused a campus supervisor to overdose. He was saved by a police officer applying Narcan. He had over 150 pills on his person when they caught him.
Wow.
Goes on and on from there. So, yeah, make it make sense when you can be someone who has. Now, first of all, that's not, don't say that was for personal use, 20,000 rainbow fentanyl pills. No, dude. You're a trafficker at that point. You are literally sitting on 20,000. If it's right, you're looking at close to $500,000 in street value and out on no bail. He'll be good. I feel certain he'll be good, Boomer.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be great.
Would we have any reason
to expect
otherwise?
I'm sure he has his hands on something else.
Oh, yeah. Next story, back closer to home. Which one do I want here? Let's take Birmingham Waterworks. Make this make sense. No, there is no making sense when it comes to Birmingham Waterworks. How many times have we talked about them on the show? If you are one of the five counties, by the way, Birmingham Waterworks, don't let the name, that'll change the name. They ought to call it like Central Alabama Waterworks because they service five counties, all right? There's a ton of people. I think I figured up at one point that something like 11% of the state of Alabama gets its water from the Birmingham Waterworks. And they cannot find their backside with both hands. I mean, they are walking around just literally like a hog looking at a wristwatch, just grunting and trying to figure things out. Birmingham Waterworks says credits for overbilling are coming by month's end. Apparently, it takes longer to figure out your bill at the Birmingham Waterworks than it does to count the votes in Arizona, and that's saying something.
That was good.
You like how I did that?
I did like how you did that. That was a good one.
Kind of merging my dippers there.
That made me chuckle.
Chuckle and chortle, a little chortling over there. Birmingham Waterworks, customers who were overcharged for water. By the way, some of them were getting bills that were like 5 months of accumulation, or they were 3 and 4 times higher than they should have been. Why? Because they were using a process called mass estimation. That means they're jacked up. They don't know what to do. So they just figure, I guess Swaggart, maybe he owes this much. That's called a mass estimation. Customers who are overcharged for water usage by Birmingham Waterworks Board should be receiving credits by the end of the month. By the way, this was first discovered like in the summer. So just saying. The release said these credits will go to anyone negatively impacted by mass estimations done by the Birmingham Waterworks Board over the last year, and added that customers did not need to call to receive them, as they would be applied to accounts automatically. Well, that's lovely. It's just, you look at, so first of all, if you are in like Jefferson, Blount, parts of St. Clair, Walker, I believe, and I'm thinking of one, Shelby counties. If you are in those counties, it may very well be you're serviced by the Birmingham Waterworks Board, and that's the most inept group that we've ever seen. There's constant division. There's constant corruption. There's constant mismanagement. It has been awful. And it's been going on for like decades. It's where good management goes to die. Birmingham Waterworks Board. Next one I got here, close to home also. Squatters on an Alabama school property defy a judge's order to leave as power is cut to their trailer. I'm looking at this and thinking, first of all, how was a group of people allowed to move on to a school property with their trailer and just live there? I don't know. It's down at Hankins Middle School in Theodore, which is down yonder in Mobile County.
And did it say they hooked up to the power? Is that what you just said?
Well, I don't rightly know.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, they're getting their power cut, but they literally have been hanging out, getting drunk on school property, having fights, just living large, man.
Living large on the school property.
Just pulled their trailer on and parked it, and ain't nobody said nothing until it got rowdy. I don't understand. Middle school. Because that's exactly what should be happening on a middle school property.
Yeah.
Take me to a break, Boomer. I'll come right back and wrap this segment up. And then at the top of the hour, yes, indeedy, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and me going to do the grand council. Going to call a quorum and see what's going on. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, I got a caller online. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. What you doing, brother?
I got past Nashville. That's all that matters.
Oh, man, you're cruising early today.
Oh, yeah. Hey, on this school thing, they're trying to get rid of these squatters?
Yeah. That article I had a minute ago?
I guess now, if I go on your property and you can trespass me and have me arrested and taken off the property, but if I bring my house with me, I can stay.
Is that the law, or is that from the book of Jeff?
Well, apparently that's the law, I guess, isn't it? Because they got the power on, you can't just force them out, apparently. So I guess if I had a turtle outfit on, I could just hunker down and put my hands and head in and claim it's my home.
I know. I mean, I look at this thing and I'm thinking, why are they accommodating these folks? Why They park themselves on school property. Just go hitch up the county truck and tow them away. That's what I'm saying. What the heck?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been people like that, too, that bought a house and have squatters in their house.
Yeah.
You know, from a bank, and they can't get rid of them. It's like, how come they're trespassing? They're there illegally. I guess it's kind of like illegal aliens. Once they get there, I guess you're fine.
Well, you know, there's been a rash of, for a while there was a rash of this circumstance with these folks call themselves sovereign citizens, who would declare themselves, not in any way bound to the laws of the region, and they would just take what they wanted and call it theirs. And I'm pretty sure there was a day in the past where that would have been met with some pretty firm personal justice, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. And like I said, the people that, don't pay the rent and have no intention of paying the rent, how come they can just stay as long as they want to? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know. You know, during the pandemic, the federal government put the moratorium on collecting rents, and landlords were literally to the point of going bankrupt because they still had to pay their mortgages. But they were not on the properties they owned, but they were not able to collect the rent from the renters. I mean, it's just this sense of entitlement. But then what I'm looking at here too is that's the local government that is dithering and taking its time on towing away people that have camped out on school property. It's just unbelievable. It's right here in Alabama.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me.
Makes no sense.
As far as Trump goes,
yeah.
Let me burst your bubble a little bit.
Oh no! What are you gonna say?
As far as on the primary and everything.
Yeah.
You and I both have no say in the primary. Indiana's primary is in May, and you're in the first of May, and yours is in the last of May.
Gotcha.
What's the odds in that you have? When's the last time you ever had any say in who the president was going to be in a primary vote?
Actually, you know what? We got to look back. I feel like they might have actually moved Alabama's primary for that very reason and call it the SEC primary. And they banded them all together. And I got to look at the month. Is it still May? I can't recall. I'll find out, Jeff.
It's the last of May. Ours is the first week of May, or first Tuesday, I guess, of May. And I think yours is maybe the last Tuesday in May or whatever it is. But that's how come John McCain and Romney was on the ballot and everything, and I didn't have no say in that matter either. So
no doubt.
If you're not in Iowa or New Hampshire, you might as well just say you've been disenfranchised.
Absolutely. All right, man, got to go. We're heading up toward break. I got a couple more things I got to get out before we hit to that break, brother. You have a good one. I'll talk to you soon. All right, he's gone. All right. Hey, listen, as I wrap this thing up, this makes no sense. I mean, the title of this whole section, by the way, is called Make This Make Sense, but there's no way to make some of this make sense. Last couple of articles I've got, if we can get them out for the break here, Fox News has a story that came out today. California early childhood teacher admits using the gender unicorn to instruct kids on sexual attraction. Her name is Danita McCray. She works in the Sacramento City Unified School District. She's a huge California Teachers Association, teachers union person. She recently gave a presentation on how to incorporate gender ideology into early childhood. Her statements were things like, now early childhood is 0 to 8 years old. That's kind of like from preschool to third grade. And the focus of this workshop is to provide you with positive strategies to support transgender and gender nonconforming children. She went on to say she recommended early childhood teachers introduce transgenderism to toddlers. For example, she said they should incorporate a gender unicorn worksheet. The gender unicorn, discusses sexuality, gender identity, gender expression, and romantic attraction. Other terms the educator claimed were pertinent to the age group include things like sexual orientation and agender, whatever the heck that means. She was asked by one teacher whether toddlers were too young for this. She says, no, I've done my research. I've got my doctorate degree. Children are not too young at 5 years old. They understand gender as early as 3 years old. I'm saying get her out. But you know what? She has tenure. I guarantee you. And the union's going to back her. All right. There we go. Let's conclude that segment. I'll leave one of mine on the table. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. We will be right back.